A very good evening on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Shkalim Yud Gimel, Shkalim 13a, pagination page 25. About halfway down the page, maybe a drop more down the page, starting the new Mishnah marked Halacha Aleph. The Mishnah tells us, Elu Hein HaMemunim. These are the appointees, and the Mishnah enumerates 15 categories of assignments that needed leaders, and obviously these leaders, these people on the top, had other people under them who made sure everything got done, but everything was called on the name of these people, similar to any project that lists whatever, the rabbi, the president, but obviously the actual work is done by an entire committee. So the leading person is listed here. So the Mishnah tells us, for example, Yochanan ben Pinchas alachosamos, the seals, the certificates that say that you paid and then you went to the other department after you paid to actually retrieve what it is that you paid, oil, flour, an animal, a bird, whatever it is that you paid for. So he was in charge of these seals. Achiyal and Asachim, there was a different appointee on the different libations to get the wine. Masir ben Shmuel ala Piyasos, the raffles that they did to decide which coin was going to do which avoda. And the one that we want to spend most time on is Pesachya al Hakinin. A person by the name of Pesachya was in charge of the birds. And we're told, Pesachya zeu Mordechai. And Pesachya is Mordechai, presumably the Mordechai of the Purim story. Valomonik Rishma Pesachya. Why is he called Pesachya? Shayaposeach devarim vidarshan, because he was able to elucidate words and explain them, get into the deeper meaning. V'yodea b'shivim lashon, and he knew 70 languages. So, one of the critical understandings of the Mishnah involves, when exactly did these 15 appointees live? Because we know that the second Beis HaMikdash was 420 years. So, obviously, there was more than one appointee to any one of these departments. So, if you drop down to the Gemara tells us, there's a machlokes chad omar kishevi dardar. One opinion is that it follows the righteous people of the generations, and we're being told in the course of history, this famous person filled this particular role, and the people listed in the Mishnah are not necessarily from the same generation. V'charona Omar, and the other opinion holds, Mishaya Ba'osador, there was a specific generation in which these people were all the appointees, and from that point on, the appointment was known by the name of that first appointee. Kulam nikru'u al shem harishon. They're all known by the name of the first person who held that position. The Tiklun Chadatin points out, v'chein b'malachim, just like you find by kings. Every king of Egypt in Torah is known as Paro, even though it clearly wasn't the same person, because if he did, it would be an absurdly long period of time that he was living. And also, the simple pshat is Vayamos and Vayaka Melechadosh, that the old king died and the new king took over. But they're all called Paro. In the words of the Mefarshim, they're all cut from the same cloth. Avimelech, the king of Gerar, likewise, even though it wasn't the same Avimelech, but he's known by the same name because he had that appointment, and that's how we're understanding this topic. One other appointment that I wanted to make an observation about before we go to Amud Beis and discuss Mordechai. So it says over here, about 12 lines from the bottom, at the end of a line, Ben Arza al Hatziltzel. Ben Arza was in charge of the symbols. Thank you, Gemara. I opened it for you. Ben Arza was in charge of the symbols. So the Mefarshim say, because when the Levim were ready to start their music, so he would bang with the cymbal, it would make a loud sound, and then they would know it's time to start. That would be the intro. Just a fascinating concept. Music starting with a bang. I think we're accustomed to music starting in a soft, developing type of method. But apparently, at least according to these Mefarshim, it started with a bang, and then from there, they began their music. Let's turn to Amud Beis. So we're on page 26 now. And our Mishnah digressed on the topic of Pesachia to give us a little bit more information, because he's a major celebrity. And our Mishnah told us Pesachia is Mordechai, and he knew Shivim Lashon, he knew 70 languages. So the Gemara can be found about a third of the way up from the bottom, the beginning of a line, Yodeya Ba'ayin Lashon. He knew 70 languages. So you may be familiar with the story in Megillas Esther, where we're told that Mordechai overheard the conversation of Bigson and Seresh. And how did he know what they were saying and no one else knew? Because he was from the Sanhedrin and he knew how to understand 70 languages. But it goes much deeper than that. What actually the situation was, that he had tremendous prowess in 70 languages and understood even the little hints, innuendos of the language. Tani, we learnt, Sanhedrin sheyesh bashnayim sheyecholim ledaber. A Sanhedrin needs two people among the 71 who know how to speak every language. V'kulam ru'uyin l'shmoa, and they all have to be able to hear, to understand the language. Hareza ru'uyin l'sanhedrin, that's considered a valid Sanhedrin. Why do you need people who can understand the language? Because people come from different places of the world, and they're saying testimony. And if you don't know how to cross-examine them and you don't understand the nuances of their language, then you can't judge properly on the case. Not only that, but a greater level of proficiency is to be able to speak the language. And you needed at least two people on the Sanhedrin who knew how to speak. Gimel, Harezer Beinonis, if you have even three people, that's average. That's a little bit better than satisfactory. And Dalit Harezu Chachma, if you have four such people, that's already a wise bezdin to be able to have that they really, they're linguists. Over Yavne, Hayuba Dalit, in Yavne, they had four such people, Ben Azai, Ben Zoma, Ben Chakinoiv, Rabbalaza, Ben Masya. Good. The Gemara continues with two cases which are absolutely fascinating of situations where a mute person was trying to convey a thought, and Psachia, because of his proficiency in the languages, understood the hint. We're going to skip that case for now because it comes up in Bavli in a different Masechta. But further down to the bottom, we have another case that's extremely relevant to appreciating why Psachia, a person with great proficiency in the language, was appointed for the Kinim to be in charge of the birds and those karbanos. So the Gemara tells us over here, it's about 12 lines from the bottom, Gimel Noshim, three different women, they were stories, Heviu Kinehem, they brought their birds, and they brought two birds. Achas Omeres, one of them said, Le'enosi, Va'achas Omeres Liyamosi, Va'achas Omeres Lizivosi. Each one had a specific word that they were saying, and we're going to explain what these words were thought to mean and how Psachia understood they really meant. Zusha omeres le'enasi. This one said what sounds like my fountain. Savrin meima shafaz kamayon. They thought that it was the woman's flow, and that she was obligated in an ola and a chatos, and they were ready to take her two birds and use one of them for an ola, one of them for a chatos, and they thought that that's what they were supposed to do. Omar alone, Psachio realized what was going on, and he said to her, Be'ena sekanta, is the reason you're bringing the carbon because you had a dangerous thing that happened with your eye and with your eye, and you thought that it was a life endangerment, and therefore you vowed two birds, in which case they're both olos. Don't do ola chatas, it's two olos. And no one else would have known how to cross-examine her, because they didn't even occur that there are two definitions for the word that she's mumbling. Zusha omeres le'yamasi. The next one said yamasi. Savrin meima shafas kayom. They thought she was using an expression. I had a flow like the sea. Om alone, and he said, Biyama sakanta. There was a danger of drowning. Nothing to do with the womanly flow. It has to do with a danger, in which case, again, they're both olos. Zusha omeres lezivasi, and the one who said zivasi, which for sure one would think, there's a word zova in the Torah, meaning flow. Savrin meimar zova mamish, they thought, ola nachatos. Om alone, and he said, no, let's ask her, because ze'ev bolita lesbena, a wolf came to take her son, and she vowed, if the son is saved, she's going to bring an ola. And she brought two birds, both of them intended to be olos. Phenomenal proficiency in the language, so that he knew how to do the cross-examination. There's a popular story of a Rav who was sitting in front of his Talmidim, and a man walks in, and he says, I'm a Kohen, am I allowed to take a Gerusha? I'm a Kohen, can I take a divorced woman? So everybody over there thinks it's a pasuk in the Torah, there's nothing to talk about. And the Dayan says, sure you're allowed to take a Gerusha. How could such a thing be? So the Rav said, go check and you'll see. And in fact, he knew the man was a wagon driver, he knew the man was a simple man, and he knew in the local dialect, when you take a Gerusha on your wagon, you call it, can I take a Gerusha? And because he understood what the Shaila that was being asked, because he understood the way people talk, he was able to get to the bottom of it and give the true answer. Yeshe Koach, have a great evening.